ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is Friday, our Friday broadcast, and we had a little technical hiccup there right before the broadcast, why it's coming in a few seconds late. My name is Joe Hagman. I am the co-host, along with my father, Doug Hagman. He will be joining us after this segment. We had some website issues on HagmanReport.com, and he is working to get those fixed, and the website should be up. It might be running a little slow, but we've had a lot of traffic as two of Liz Crokin's articles have gone viral again, as well as a number of other articles up there that are getting a lot of attention. We got a fantastic show for you tonight. Folks, we are live on YouTube, as well as Global Star Radio, and simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. We got a fantastic show lined up. We are going to be, Dr. Ted Brewer is our guest, and his son, Austin, will be joining us also in the show to go over a few things himself. So let's jump right into this. We'll bring Dr. Ted on. Dr. Ted Brewer of HealthMasters.com, also the radio show host, him and his son, Austin, do, which streams live on Global Star Radio Network. And go to HealthMasters.com. You can get the 24-hour listen feed, the listen and the number feed, as well as right after our show is over at 10 o'clock on Global Star Radio Network, there is a rebroadcast of Ted's show. And you can hear the show 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m., and Sundays, 7 to 8 p.m. Dr. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Joe, thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to having Doug on with a few minutes. A lot of news this week. Also, I want to cover aluminum toxicity. And we have a brand new product that we just developed that's been shown to chelate aluminum out of the brain. And you'll understand why that's so important in a few minutes. Plus, we have a new children's multiple that we have that we've been working on for close to 2 years. So it's a phenomenal product, and so we're going to be talking about that product today also. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover with you guys today, including in this show, we're going to talk about healing and why a lot of people who get sick don't get healed, why some people who do get healed seem to lose their healing, what the relationship to prayer and healing is, and what you can expect when you pray to be healed. So we've got a lot of information tonight that's going to be relatively controversial. So I want you guys just to stay tuned for that, because I want to cover that just in the, probably you know, within an hour we'll start on the prayer and the healing and why so many people who pray, who believe God they're going to be healed, they end up dying. And so it's something that we've talked about over the years on my show, and I've written some articles on it over the years, but we really need to address this with your listening audience, because I've got some answers for you as to why some of your loved ones were not healed. And, you know, and may or may not be right. I mean, I'm not going to say that this is the definitive answer to it. We're going to cover a lot of variables. So I want you guys to grab some paper and pencil on this one, because you're going to like this one. This show probably should go viral. It's going to be a big one. But let's talk about what happened this week with the news for a few minutes, Joe. I mean, we had a big scare there in South Carolina with one of the folks who's been on your show saying that there was a dirty bomb coming up on a ship and actually labeled the ship, and now he's in jail for a DUI. He may have gotten out or bonded out by now. But, you know, there's some major stuff going on. We don't need to name any names as far as people involved in all this. And also, we got some stuff going on with Trump. We got some more stuff going on with the stuff with Pedogate. And the reason I bring that up is because the congressman who was shot was really involved in that. I'm sure that's what Liz Crogan is talking about also on her show. So where do you want to start, Joe?
Well, we can start wherever you want. We have some updating information. The fire that happened in London Tower. I said London four times. That would sound weird. But the inferno that the death toll is still being configured. There have been some protests, and people are fearing that it's going to turn into riots there. And we did have the shooting of the congressman and a few others in Alexandria, Virginia, a few days ago. That was done by a rabid leftist follower, Democrat, and you know, where the media's reaction is on this, is it's pretty interesting to see, because you have a number of outlets trying to blame Trump for it, and the other ones are saying, no, it's not the the left's rhetoric of hate and violence that is doing this. But regardless, the division, the political climate we have today, it's just getting worse and worse. And it looks like violence is going to be kind of a normal thing if this continues the way it does. But Ted, we can talk about whatever you want. We can go wherever you want to go. And Liz Crokin did write a few pieces on our website and tied the Scalise shooting to Pedogate. And those articles are up on HagmanReport.com.
That's right. And also we have to look at what's going on with gun control. The day that the shooting took place was the day they were going to be hearing a huge gun control legislation, releasing a bunch of stuff they had tied up for years and years, including the release of silencers or suppressors or noise suppressors, you want to call them, for pistols and rifles, making them no longer needing a tax stamp. So a lot of stuff was happening the day the shooting took place. So we also have the Pedogate tie-ins. We got the Pedogate tie-in. We also have the gun rights tie-in, you know, with the hunting bill that was coming before Congress. Now it's been put on hold. They don't know when it's going to even be brought back up into committee to be discussed. So a lot of stuff was happening all of a sudden, which is kind of crazy. This stuff is just coming at us so fast. So I think it's a blend of a lot of things. These guys who do this kind of stuff, they always try to maximize the exposure they get. And they don't want a good crisis to go to waste, according to some of them. And I believe that was a quote from one of those guys. So we just need to realize, and I suggest that everybody goes to your website, pull up the Liz Crokin article and look at how it ties into Pedogate, because the guy who was shot was actively involved in trying to stop the child sex trafficking. And now he's basically in the hospital fighting for his life. And he's in the same hospital I was told and I read that Seth Rich was in, who basically died of much less serious wounds. So it's going to be interesting to see if they allow this guy to stay alive. You remember what happened with General Patton, Joe? I mean, after World War II, he was so upset with the treaty that had been done with World War II, and he decided he wanted to start a war all over again with Russia and rearm the German troops. And he ended up having an accident. He went to the hospital and he was dead. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this and this continued deep state feud that we have that's going on right now, plus all the other information that we've pretty much uncovered on CERN this week and a lot of other things that are going over in Switzerland. So there's a lot of stuff to cover. But let's jump on the aluminum toxicity, because I want to cover this. This is really important that people understand this. And I've talked about this before in small little clips, but I really want to focus on it right now, because what we've done, we've developed a triple magnesium product, and it's basically a product that is specifically designed to clean aluminum out and give your body out of the brain. And it's called magnesium brain food. And I want to talk about this just for a second. And it's on special right now. Everything on the website's on special for the Doug 5% off coupon. And what this does is actually chelates and pulls aluminum out of the brain. And you'll understand why that's important. It contains dimagnesium malate and malic acid. It binds and chelates with aluminum in the body and carries the aluminum out. Aluminum has been shown in people with brain issues from diseases to memory, including Alzheimer's. And we were exposed to aluminum in deodorants and various foods and other cosmetic products. And also we put in a special blend of magnesium and magnesium L-threonate, magnesium L-glycinate. And it is the only magnesium that has actually been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier. And these are from studies at MIT. And it's shown to help short and long-term memory loss. Also post-traumatic stress disease brain response. It improves mental cognition, which is your ability to think, sleep quality, stress management, anxiety. It's also shown to be helpful for headaches. And so this is a phenomenal product. It does one other thing that my wife and I both found out on it since we've been using it. We got it developed. Makes your fingernails real strong, which is, I didn't expect that to happen. And I told my wife, I said, wow, we combine that with the ultimate multiple powder and our nails are doing really good. Let's talk about aluminum toxicity real quick. Things to avoid that contain aluminum: commercial deodorants, commercial baking powder, and of course we've got the Health Masters magnesium deodorant that we have on the website. So you can avoid that, so we give you an alternative. Commercial baking powder can contain aluminum triskelate. It's very, very, very bad for you. Aluminum foil, aluminum cookware. Vaccines are loaded with aluminum. And of course, we have the chemtrails, which can go directly through the olfaction system in the brain. So you really need to consume foods that contain large amounts of this magnesium that we're talking about. And also, we need to avoid all of these other compounds. Aluminum has been shown to be in 80% of people tested for toxicity. This is an interesting article, Joe, and it says that aluminum, which performs no identifiable function in the body, is not a nutrient. It's a toxin. And according to analytical research labs, a whopping 80% of people tested have excessively high aluminum levels in their blood, brain, and tissue. We are literally living in an age of aluminum. And sadly, aluminum is used in aluminum cookware, soda cans, packaging for processed food, not to mention aluminum foil. And disturbingly, exposure to aluminum begins almost immediately after birth with immunizations. And what the aluminum does, it accumulates in the kidneys, brains, liver, lungs, thyroid, causing oxidative stress and attacking the central nervous system and the brain, and has been linked to neurodegenerative diseases. It also lowers sperm count, which is, of course, what they wanted to do to reduce fertility. This is a really interesting article that came in about that, and how if you're having a problem conceiving children, it could be from the fact that your body is overloaded with aluminum, and it could be from the immunizations you have. And another article that we have says scientists have proven the link now between aluminum and early onset Alzheimer's disease. Joe, we've seen this happening more and more and more times now when people are coming in with their 20s and their 30s and their 40s and their 50s and their 60s, and they're coming down with senile dementia. And a lot of these guys are basically being diagnosed with, you know, with early onset Alzheimer's disease. And now the studies are saying that there's really a huge link between this. Of course, we've known this for over 30 years, and it really is a major, major problem for a lot of people because of the exposure. And then the other thing that you get a lot of, if you're using a lot of antacids like Rolaids and Tums and Tagamet, those types of things, or Maalox, a lot of those compounds contain aluminum salts. And so you're actually drinking those, and you're putting them into your body. I remember years ago I had a friend of mine. His name was Dave, and he owned a company up in Tallahassee that sold coffee products. And I actually worked for him when I was in graduate school there at Florida State. And I'll never forget, we went out with dinner with him one night, Joe, and he had a real bad problem with acid reflux, but he was drinking a lot of coffee, which causes a lot of problems with acid reflux. And I'll never forget, we went out and had a steak with him, and we got back into his van. He had a van. My wife and I were in the back seat. He and his wife were in the front. And he literally turned up a quart-sized bottle of Maalox and just turned it up and started chugging it. And I could see him in the silhouette. I said, "What in the world are you drinking?" And he says, I'm drinking Maalox, man. My gut's tearing me up from the steak. And I said, "Dude," I said, "the reason you're having a problem with acid reflux and acid indigestion, you're not producing enough acid." I said, "And plus you're loading your body with aluminum, and you're really going to increase your risks of early onset senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease." I had another man come into the office, and he had early onset Alzheimer's disease. He was in his early 60s. He was my age. I'm 61. And he ended up basically becoming extremely forgetful, not remember where anything was, and he used to take a lot of antacids. So that's the big problem we have with a lack of hydrochloric acid in our system, acid reflux, where it's taking all of these antacids and these proton pump inhibitors, Joe, and a lot of these medications that we're taking have large amounts of aluminum in them, and what they're doing is they're poisoning our body with a toxic element that has absolutely no business in our bodies. Here's another article. It says that aluminum does cause Alzheimer's disease. I personally don't think there's any type of controversy on this. I really believe this is an actual link. I believe it's been around for a long, long time, but the globalists don't want us to know that. And then we have aluminum adjuvants, which are put in injections. Almost all immunizations for children have never been approved for use in the United States as far as injectional stuff. This is an interesting thing that it says within the first year of life, the CDC recommends that children receive a total of 29 vaccinations, Joe, many which contain aluminum, a substance used in vaccinations to increase the immune response to the antigen because it's so poisonous to the body, it makes it actually swell up. There are currently two main aluminum adjuvants commonly used in vaccinations today. It says there are no aluminum adjuvants that have been approved for intramuscular or subcutaneous injection into humans, and there are no requirements for their approval that they are approved as part of the vaccine. And that we get all of these kids, and what it also does, it causes a lot of problems, what we call shaken baby syndrome. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't real in some cases and people don't abuse their kids, because we certainly know they do, but a lot of times when you inject aluminum into children, it messes up calcium metabolism as far as bone development. And the children's bones are literally, they're not formed properly, and they're extremely weak and fragile. So you pull a little baby's, 1 or 2 year old baby's shirt over their head, you may break an arm. And you didn't even mean to. The kid starts screaming and crying, yelling, the bone starts bleeding, the arm turns blue, and you go, wow, this is crazy. So you take the kid to the emergency room, and they go, oh, shaking baby syndrome, you abused this baby. He said, dude, all I did was change his shirt or her shirt, and now her arm's bleeding like this internally so that because bones bleed. I don't know what to do. You abused this child. You grabbed that child, and you broke its arm. And see, then the person goes to jail. They lose custody of the child. Happens a lot. And a lot of these people that have been convicted with shaken baby syndrome, Joe, is because the aluminum in the vaccines have inhibited proper calcium in the bones and proper bone development in these young children. very, very important that you understand that as a parent. Remember, the first year of life, that child is designed to get all of its nutrients and all of its antibiotics from the brother, from the mother's breast milk. I know Austin's little boy, he'll be on about 9 o'clock tonight. His first year of life, he was being breastfed, and what ended up happening is he stayed super healthy. He might get a cold for one day or 2 days, and he was over it because he was using the breast milk. And now he's been off the breast milk for about a month now, and his mom's pregnant again, by the way. You can tell Austin, congratulations, he's having another baby. And what's crazy about this is that, you know, he immediately got a cold when he got off the breast milk. And the reason for that is his immune system is now trying to develop on its own. The first year, children don't even respond to different types of things like colds by themselves. The breast milk's supposed to take care of that from the mother's milk. And the immunizations are pretty much useless. And the pediatricians will tell you the truth, will tell you that. But they want you to develop a pattern of going to the pediatrician on a regular basis to allow that child to be immunized so you build a habit pattern. Plus, it's also a revenue stream for that pediatrician. And a lot of pediatricians will admit that they don't even immunize their own children, Joe, because of the amount of autism they've seen with these kids they've injected. So we wanted to share that with you because aluminum salts are also found in many popular antiperspirant deodorants, which we know that, and these aluminum salts go directly through the lymphatic system, through the skin into the lymphatic system, and a lot of breast cancer women now are finding out that when they analyze the breast cancer cell, that it's loaded with aluminum. So ladies, please use our magnesium deodorant. Don't be using anything that contains aluminum as far as an antiperspirant deodorant. They're really, really, really unhealthy, and they need to be completely and totally avoided. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I know that from emails we've gotten when you put together the arthritis pack with the different types of magnesium soaps and deodorants for, and that helps inflammation and arthritis. I know that it has worked with a great number of people who have tried it, and I think that we should, at this point, you know, look for alternative ways to, especially natural ways to do things to heal our bodies and to take away symptoms of certain ailments. Because if we rely solely on pharmaceuticals, you know, we talk about this a lot, that they only temporarily treat symptoms of the disease. And why take a risk taking a lab produced medicine when there's natural remedies for the ailments that some of the ailments that are out there. And as far as the aluminum and the links between aluminum and Alzheimer's and dementia, you know, that's serious stuff. We have to understand from chemtrails and you know, there's lead in water. There's all these toxins that are in our water. It is so important, you know, to keep our mental health and our neurological health, you know, at the forefront, because we can't function without having those, you know, the right way. Well, so any suggestions you have to help make that, you know, function better and to protect?
We have a magnesium kit protocol that you talked about also with the magnesium salts to soak your feet in, which we do on a regular basis. Plus, it contains the deodorant. It also has the magnesium balm for like muscle pulls and muscle strains. It works phenomenal. In fact, Charlie Ward called me up. He's a former Heisman Trophy winner, and he's a good friend of mine. His son's playing ball, and he had a muscle pull, and he called me up just the other day and actually texted me and asked me, what can you do for this muscle strain? And I said, here's what you do. So it's one of those things that a lot of sports teams are using now, because what's happening is they're starting to realize that, you know, the Bengay and all those other types of products that heat up the areas, they're not really curing or healing anything. All they're doing is allowing additional blood flow to go to those areas. But if you've got a magnesium deficiency, which is used in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body, you start having deficiency symptoms like leg cramps, muscle pulls, etc. Plus, now we've got a product, again, that's the magnesium brain food, which actually helps to chelate this aluminum back out of the brain, which is extremely important. I mean, this is something we've been working on and developed, I mean, been working on for years and years, because we've realized this is a major problem, especially with the chemtrails. And I don't even know how to stress that. I take two scoops of this stuff every single morning because I want to make sure that I get this stuff out of my brain the best I can. We've actually had some people say they get a better memory response. They're less stressed out. And you combine that with the cortisol buster and this magnesium. I mean, every morning I have a protein shake. I put all of this stuff in the protein shake, including the powdered multiple vitamin. And then, of course, we've got the new vitamin. And I want to share this with you guys, too. We developed a brand new vitamin supplement for children. So I can find it here. This is something, and the reason we did this is primarily because Austin has kids now. And we are selling a whole bunch of the organic gummy bears, which I was doing that because I had no choice, because the kids liked those a lot and we didn't have a good multiple vitamin that was chewable for kids. So we developed the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. Now all these are on special for the Doug 5 coupon right now. And these are phenomenal. This is so much better than any other children's chewable on the market. We made sure of it. Sometimes it has 4 and 5 times the amounts of different nutrients that these gummy bears have in them. And they taste absolutely great. You just let the kids chew them. They taste like a sweet tart. They're absolutely delicious. I actually like them. And they're a far, far superior product to the gummy bear. They cost about the same as the gummy bears, but they're like 3 times the potency. So really, they're only about a third of the price. So they're phenomenal products. We have the Ultimate Chewable for kids now, too. Now, there's several things here also I want to cover. The myths of aging. And one of the myths of aging is senility when you get older. Guys, this is just not true. You don't have to be senile. I mean, I'm 61. I'll be 62 in a few months. My brain works as well as it's ever worked. Now, I must tell you, though, I take care of myself. I don't go out and eat a bunch of junk food. I don't go out and drink a bunch of alcohol. I mean, alcohol now has been shown, even in moderation, with people who are older, over 30, over 40, that it really wreaks havoc on the entire body, including the brain. It causes a lot of problems with memory loss, because it's destroying brain cells by the millions when you get drunk or when you start drinking on a regular basis. That's why I tell you guys, if you're going to drink a glass of alcohol, a glass of wine, a glass of beer every once in a while, okay, your body can deal with that and process it through your liver. We did a whole show just a few months ago on the liver, Joe, and how hard alcohol is for the liver and how it's much, much, much worse for women who drink alcohol. So don't start drinking alcohol thinking you're going to be healthier, including red wine. But you don't have to be senile when you get older. But you do need to change your eating habits, and you don't need to lose your teeth. And you can manage a lot of this through your lifestyle changes. And it doesn't mean you're going to be constantly sick. I know the other day, we had some, you know, the Hunter got sick. I told you that earlier. It kind of swept through the house. Now, what I did, now this is a little secret I'm going to tell you that I did. A cold is a rhinovirus, and it's something that it goes through the nose, through the eyes. And if you keep your hands washed, you don't touch your eyes, and you basically keep your nose cleaned out, you don't really have a problem most of the time with colds. And this thing swept through the entire household. But what I did is we have a 500 parts per million colloidal silver. It's a really good product. It's phenomenally made. And what I would do is I'd take a Q-tip, and I'd put it in the colloidal silver several times a day, and I'd just basically clean out the inside of my nose, because it'll kill a rhinovirus like that. And so if you have exposure to somebody in your house and they're sneezing and coughing and hacking, it's one of those things that you can do. But you need to get a really good type of colloidal silver. This is 500 parts per million. A lot of guys sell the stuff that's like 10 parts per million, 50 parts per million, and it's the same price as the stuff that we have, and it's not really effective for that because it's not strong enough. And I do that all of the time. And if you're using a Kleenex or your whatever, cleaning your nose and getting junk out of your nose, always make sure you swab the inside of that nose with that Q-tip after you get done, so you don't cause an infection or cause something to get, you know, lodged in there and basically cause a problem with getting a nose infection or causing yourself to catch a cold. Really, really good tip for you guys. And also, keep your hands washed on a regular basis, like every single couple of hours. And every time you shake somebody's hand or use a doorknob, go ahead and make sure you rinse your hands off. Now, you don't have to use soap because that'll dry out the lipid in the fat in your skin. You can just rinse them off with running water and then dry them gently and then throw the towel away. If you're using a public bathroom, make sure if you're not using one of the faucets to turn on automatically that you always turn the water back off with a towel, because that faucet is contaminated with what we call fecal coliform, and it's going to recontaminate your own hands, and then you don't want to be touching your face. So always make sure you're very cognizant when you open the door to the bathroom, use a towel, simply because I took a class one time in the biochemical genetics department at Florida State, and what we did is we were in the old Conradi building up in Tallahassee at FSU. That's where the department was located. It's been since torn down. And what we did, we actually took a dish. It's called a Petri dish, and it's a little plate about that thick. And what it does, it has like a sugar solution with protein and like gelatin. And we went around the entire Conradi building, and we took a Q-tip, and we'd wet it with distilled water, and we would wipe down the doorknob and put it in the Petri dish, and then we would go to the elevator button and we would wipe that off and put it in the Petri dish, and we'd go on the stairwell and wipe it off and put it in the Petri dish, and we'd do the bathroom handle. So every area that was touched in the Conradi building that we could find, it was part of the class assignment, we all went around and we did this. And then we put them in like a little incubator for about 3 or 4 days, and we came back to see what had grown in those. And every single surface, Joe, that we tested had fecal coliform on the surface, which basically comes from feces or human poop is what it is. And what ended up happening is we found then that literally every public surface because people don't wash their hands when they use the bathroom, is contaminated with fecal coliform. So I know that sounds kind of nasty, but think about that, guys. And so when you're touching your face or touching your eyes or some people pick their nose, that kind of stuff, you're getting all of this stuff up inside of this nasal cavity or in your eyes, and a lot of people end up with infections because of this. So it's very, very, very important to wash your hands properly. You know, just with running water, most of the time it's fine. Let's say you had grease on them, and that'll clean all of that stuff off, and it makes it a lot healthier like that. By the way, there's also been a whole bunch of medications that have been shown to cause memory loss in the elderly. This is what they did to my mom when she was in the nursing home. I did not have power of attorney over her. I was not allowed to control her medication or dosing or even work with the doctor on that. My sister did that, and they basically destroyed my mom's memory. Sleeping pills are really bad about that. Statin drugs are really bad about that. But there's some other medications that have also been shown to cause massive memory loss, especially as you get older. Let me go through this. And the Parkinson's, the scopolamine has shown to cause memory loss. The Dilantin for epilepsy causes memory loss. Basically, if you're using painkillers, you use opiates or morphine, they can cause memory loss.
Ted, we're right up against the break. We will pick up right here where we left off. Folks, Dr. Ted Brewer is our guest. Healthmasters.com is the website. This is the company we use for all of our nutritional supplements, you know, vitamin B, vitamin C, the ultimate multiple, and so much more. Also, Purple Sticks just had another. I've been having them every last 2 weeks, every day, an hour before the show.
Me too, Joe.
And, you know, they really do help. Folks, we'll be right back with Dr. Ted Brewer, and don't forget, his son Austin Brewer will be joining us later on in the show. Both of them together host a show right here on Global Star Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Yes, I made it in. I made it from the office to the studio. Actually, just had to take care of some issues with our website, which was down, and then had to kind of just fix some issues. So, Joe, thanks for covering for me, and Ted, of course, Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com, the guy that fixes everyone, keeps people's blood pressures in check, right? Healthmasters.com. And also, you know what? Take nutritional supplements. Get your nutritional supplements from Dr. Ted Brower. End of story. If you don't do that, then, I mean, look, you got to do it because they're the best. And, well, just look at us. Look at me. I'm the picture of health. No, seriously. His multivitamins are the best. All of his products are the best. They're done in-house to his specifications. And I got to tell you, man, wow. Yeah, see his laboratories and how they, it's like a level 5 containment clean. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's impressive. Ted, thanks for covering.
Hey, Doug, Joe, thanks for having me on. I tell you what, I'm really happy that Renee's doing well and she's responding well as far as healing with the supplements. And let's talk about healing right now.
Sure.
I need to cover this because I promoted this all week on my show that I'll be covering this tonight. And I want to get this out as quick as I can because this is important that you guys understand this. I looked it up online today because I wanted to find out what a lot of people were saying about people who are Christians who pray and end up dying. And I wanted to share some of my beliefs on why this happens. And I want to share another article that was just released in one of the magazines this week. It said that believing in God could help combat diabetes that a new research is suggesting. And it says, accepting that someone created and now rules the universe encourages sufferers of deadly diseases and conditions to adopt a healthier diet. Feeling safe under God's care makes it easier for patients to plan a healthy diet with their partner, the study claims. Eating together helps to scrap the urge to consume junk food and products high in sugar that could exacerbate type 2 diabetes, which is a preventable condition, which we know that, Doug. We saw that with you. Often thought of as a harmless, type 2 diabetes is a hidden killer and can lead to heart failure, blindness, kidney disease, leg amputations, and also, by the way, it leads to, some people say, Alzheimer's disease. Accepting that someone created and now rules the universe encourages people to adopt healthier diets. And it's kind of interesting how they say this because we're going to talk about this very topic tonight. And I want you to understand something. This is important that you get this. A lot of people, they want to blame everything on the person either who's praying for that person who's sick, or they want to pray it on the blame it on the person who is sick while they're not healed. And, you know, we can blame shift all we want, but not everybody is going to get healed. And I'm going to talk about why that is in a few minutes. So what we don't need to do is have negative prayers over people who are sick. Just a few months ago, I'll never forget this, Doug, and I have a dear friend of mine was over at the house, actually, and a good man, and his wife were here, and he asked to pray over me. And he started praying, and within like 2 sentences, it got super negative. I mean, really negative. And I stopped him. I said, sir, I said, let's not do this. I said, let's not be involved in this. You know, I don't want to have a negative prayer prayed over me. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. So he starts praying again. He does the exact same thing again. I said, whoa, stop. I said, let's just go ahead and pass on this right now. I don't want this stuff spoken over me because it's just not necessary. So we're going to talk about that in just a second also. But remember, healing is primarily for the unbeliever. Divine health is the goal of the believer. We should be walking in divine health because so many people believe they can do whatever they want to do and basically be healthy. And then when they get sick, they want to blame God because they're not feeling good anymore. And they want to turn around and say, well, it was God's fault that I didn't get healed. And, you know, you have to understand that you have to realize that there are a lot of things, including forgiveness in a person's heart, that has to be there for them to be healed. And sometimes Christians just have a hard time receiving the healing because they have a hard time forgiving other people, or they don't believe that they're really somebody who deserves to be healed. And so I've also seen people, Doug, they've been literally slain in the spirit, if you believe in that, and some of them have not been slain in the spirit, and they are completely healed. I mean, like spontaneous remission, and then you come back into the city years later, and that same person has the same disease again. And invariably in these churches that believe in prayer and laying on of hands, literally the same people come forward every single time who've got health problems to be prayed for again concerning their health problems. And, you know, the problem is this. A lot of it is stress-induced. And a lot of it's because they're taking meds. But I'm going to talk about what the Bible says right now, so you guys can kind of like check me out on this in a little bit. But there's four basic precepts in the Old Testament that we need to look at. Number one is God's relationship to man. Number two is man's relationship to man. And number three are the sanitary laws. And number four are the dietary laws. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with us in the New Testament? Well, they're principles. They're principles of the Old Testament that God put together for us so we'd live long and prosper. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that if you follow these things that I'm telling you to do, you're going to live long, you're going to do well, and you're not going to have these horrible diseases, you know, like long and lingering diseases, which we assume stuff like cancer, and wasting diseases like cancer. So people were dealing with suffering and disease, even leprosy, back in the Old Testament, and there were four basic precepts that they were taught to follow if they were basically from the Jewish faith. But all these, again, dealt with God's relationship with the man, man's relationship to man, the sanitary laws, and the dietary laws. Now, when Christ came for us and to redeem us from our sins, he forever changed God's relationship to man, period. He changed everything because now we go through Christ, through the cross, through the Holy Spirit to do all the things that we do with God. So that changed everything. He also changed our relationship with man's relationship to man. Now we're not under the old Abrahamic law. We're underneath the new law of love, to love one another. Now, the two things that never got changed, Doug and Joan, which people don't look at from the Old Testament, are the sanitary laws and the dietary laws. Now, you think, well, people can eat what they want to eat and get to heaven. Yes, because we're under grace. But you see, in the Old Testament to the Jews, when they ate pork or they ate shellfish, it was considered a sin. And they weren't allowed to do that because God told them in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, that if they ate those types of foods, that they're going to come down with these diseases. And so they knew better. That's why when Jesus cast the demons out, he cast them into a herd of swine. Now, there were several thousand pigs in that herd. They ran down a steep bank and they drowned themselves. Now, the creator of the universe knew what was going to happen to those pigs when they went at these, the demons went into them. They were going to kill themselves. Well, he already knew that, but he didn't care. He didn't care about the economic impact that those pigs had on the local community because they weren't there to be eaten as far as he was concerned. They're like a septic tank. There was a giant pit outside of Jerusalem and they put the hogs down inside of the pit. And what they did, they ended up in a situation where they would take the human waste and the excrement, and they would, remember, they didn't have septic tanks. They didn't flush toilets back then. They would take it in a bucket, and they would throw this human waste, this human feces, into this bucket that's in this pit outside of Jerusalem, and these hogs would eat it, because they'll eat anything. And so this was like the living septic tank they used to eat this type of filth. Now, Jesus knew that these people in the Jews weren't supposed to eat this, so to them, they were just like a, they were basically a toilet cleaner is what they were. So there wasn't even a question of eating pork. Now we have the World Health Organization that has come out and has said that pork is one of the primary causes of cancer globally. And there's a really good article in the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. And the article is called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. And what this article goes into is the different types of poisons and diseases, including trichinosis, that are transmitted from pigs into humans. So we know that we have the dietary laws that never got changed. Jesus did not come to sanctify a pig. Now, a lot of you are going to be quoting the verse out of 1 Timothy now, and I'm doing this from memory, and believe it or not, I'm not reading notes. I'm just talking to you guys, and so I've done this so many times in Christian churches, I pretty much remember this. And it says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron, who forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain meats, which God created to be received by thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good. Now, if it is sanctified by the word of God, which was the Torah and prayer. Now, if you go back and you look at those verses in Timothy and you break them down, which I've done this, by the way, I've gone into the Greek, every single word and I've broke it down. What it's saying is this. People are going to come in latter days and they're going to tell you to avoid certain meats which God recreated with thanksgiving for those who believe. Because these meats are sanctified by the Torah. Now, if you look up the word meats in that verse, it's broma, B-R-O-M-A in the Greek. And those are meats that are sanctified according to Levitical law. That's what it says under the law. So they're forbidding people to eat certain meats which have been sanctified according to Levitical law. You have to put the definition in with the word. And it says because these things are sanctified by what? The word of God, which at that point was the Torah. Remember, the New Testament had not been put together yet. They were just a series of letters that were later compiled by the Catholic Church or the Roman or the early Christian Church. So what, when they're talking about the Torah, when they're talking about the word of God, the only thing they had was the Pentateuch, the five first books of Levitical law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So these, they're telling us these foods have been sanctified according to the Pentateuch, the Torah, and that basically by the Word of God, the Torah, that you can eat them and they're safe to eat. So what we have all the time are Christians who take this verse out of context and say, I'm going to pray over and eat it. That's not what it says. Now, the other thing that happens with people is Peter's vision. Because in Peter's vision, what ends up happening is Peter has a vision and a sheet's being let down and all of these nasty animals come out. And God says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. He goes, surely not I, Lord, for I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. Then Peter goes on to say, I don't want to do this. And following the Holy Spirit says, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. And then about, I think it's after chapter 2, verse 38, Peter comes back in and he goes, God has now shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. This is to bring the Gentile believers into the body of Christ, Doug and Joe. So what ended up happening is people misinterpret that. It doesn't say I should not call any man or pig unclean. It doesn't say that. Because remember, the Bible says the scripture cannot be broken, that the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God says is bad to eat in the Old Testament is also bad to eat in the New Testament. And God knew what refrigeration was going to be, and he'd have put a little appendix in the back of the Bible. He could say, oh, by the way, when you figure out how to keep the meat cold, it's okay to eat. He doesn't say that. He says, don't touch it. Because he knows what it does, and he knows the worms and the parasites and everything else that are in it. Now, if that's not enough to convince you of this, go read the last two chapters of Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 65 and Isaiah chapter 66. And what that does, that goes into detail talking about those who eat the meat of the flesh of pigs and rats and other abominable things, they shall meet their ends together, declareth the Lord. That's what the Word says. So now that's what the Bible says about eating certain types of food. So, and the reason I'm saying all of this is going to be now about healing. What we have to understand is that we're dealing with natural laws, and these natural physical laws that are taking place in the universe are real. They don't change. If you don't believe in me, if you don't believe in that, take a penny and throw it off the edge of your counter. It'll fall straight down. And I always tell folks, if you don't want to believe that, somebody steps off a 10-story building, they're going to have a really negative experience for a few seconds if they say they don't believe in the law of gravity. So these natural physical laws affect everybody all of the time. So what ends up happening is this. If we have faith and we believe God that we're going to be healed, in the event that we aren't healed, we have to take a look retrospectively of what we're doing and what we're thinking and how we're acting. And you say, well, does that make the person's fault? Well, it's not necessarily the person's fault that they weren't healed, but there may be certain things that have caused them to get sick to start with. This is the problem that you see when you go back to a church, someone was healed, you come back, they've got diabetes again, or they've got cancer again. God supernaturally healed them, now they've got the same disease all over again. The reason that happens is this. The lifestyle choices, Doug and Joe, that they were doing that caused the cancer to start with, was continued after they walked away from the altar and got healed. So the same diseases that caused the cancer to come the first time, or the heart disease to come the first time, or the senile dementia to come the first time, it comes right back because nothing changed. The lifestyle didn't change. They never went back and said, hey, maybe I weigh 400 pounds and maybe I don't need to eat Twinkies all day long. Maybe I don't need to go out and eat two big giant pepperoni pizzas every single day. Maybe I don't need to do that. They don't see it that way. They go right back into their old lifestyle, and so that healing simply dissipates, and the diseases come back on their bodies. Now, also, we've got to realize this. A lot of people have really, really negative self-talk, and when they confess scriptures, they don't really believe that they're going to be healed. I spoke with a lady here last few years ago. She had breast cancer, and she was going to the doctor, and the doctor was working with her. She found a nutrition guy out in Colorado, and she worked with him. And I told them some things that they could do as far as some supplements that'll help build the immune system. And I told her, I said, what you have to understand is that God wants you to be better. So you can't get into a situation where you start to stress out over what's happening with your body right now. You can't allow yourself to do that. You've just got to sit back in God's rest and let Him heal you. But what you also have to do is change the lifestyle, including drinking the coffee, drinking the alcohol, eating the sugar, doing all the things that you may have been doing that caused this disease to come upon you to begin with, to give your body a chance to be healed and to obtain, you know, good healing. And you say, well, is it really necessary to do that? No. God can come in again, and He can do a supernatural transformation. He can literally put His healing frequency right through you with the Holy Spirit, and he can change the cells in your body, and he can do everything simultaneously and go snap, and you're healed, and you walk away, and you're completely saved, and walk, well, you're walking in divine health at that point. But again, let me repeat myself. If you continue to do what you did to cause the problem to begin with, in many cases, that exact problem comes right back within 6 months, a year, 2 years, you've got the same problems. You remember, Doug, when you called me up and you told me, Ted, you know, my sugars are like at 450, I don't know what to do, your blood sugar. And I said, Doug, I said, there's some things you have to do. There's some supplements you need to take. There's some dietary changes you need to make. And you did that. Now your blood sugar is normal. And for blood sugar to come from that high to normal is pretty impressive. But again, did God heal you? I believe that he did, because we prayed for you also. But also, you took your time and you changed what you were doing, which is something that everybody has to understand. You can do it the hard way, you know, and just believe and believe and believe all the way to the grave that you don't have to change anything you're doing, and you can live on junk food all of your adult life, and they can bury you in a few months. I've seen that repeatedly. In fact, that's more the case than not the case. And or you can go ahead and make the changes that you need to make and give God's Holy Spirit a chance to work through you and for you to show the faith that you have by making the changes. And see, this is so important, Doug. What do you think about all this?
I think you're right on the money, Ted. And people have to listen to exactly what you're saying. I mean, obviously, number one, you've got to decide to make the changes. We are in charge of our own health, and we're in charge of our own health.
Be proactive.
Be proactive. Thank you, Joe. Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Just, you know, there's a lot of people think certain things are out of their control, and even I do that to myself sometimes, but you just change certain habits and patterns. You got to break unhealthy habits. And once you start breaking the unhealthy habits, it becomes a lot easier, to change, you know, your health and take control of it. But a lot of people feel helpless with that. And I think if they just took some first initial steps, the rest would be a lot easier.
And when you're shopping, you know, for three meals a day at the local 7-Eleven, you got a problem.
And speaking of three meals a day, Ted, let me ask you. I don't know if you've ever done research throughout history, you know, what people's calorie intakes, you know, or regular meals were throughout history, even in the last few thousand years. But what would be ideal? I know I hear people say, you know, eat, you know, three or four or five very small meals a day. What about eating like one meal a day or two small meals a day? As long as you're, you know, not starving yourself.
The body can only effectively carry about 500 to 600 calories in a meal before it releases insulin to store those extra calories as fat. It'll convert the carbohydrates to fat and store them as fat. It'll take the fat and store them as fat. That's what it does. And so what ends up happening is if you eat a lot of calories at one time, like one giant meal a day, the body really doesn't do that very well. It wants to store those extra calories. And then the problem is, once you convert carbohydrates to fat, they can never be converted back to carbohydrates again. They have to be burned as fat for fuel. Very, very difficult to do that. That's why so many people go on those ketogenic diets. So what I tell folks is this. If you want to weigh 180 pounds, which is pretty much my ideal weight, which is my goal to go back down to 180, but I weigh about 190 now, you divide that by, you times it by 10, and that's 1,800 calories a day, and you divide that by 6. So you eat like 6 300-calorie meals throughout the day. And when you do it that way, it allows the body to the ability to use that fuel that you're putting in and burning it instead of storing it as fat. That's one of the key secrets that you use. And you can use this product that we have that's called HGH Stimulate. This is the number one selling product we have, by the way. And so many of your live guys are listening to it and using it already. And that's like it helps to release human growth hormone from the pituitary gland in the body. There is no human growth hormone in there. That's why it says HGH Stimulate. And what it does, it allows you to increase lean muscle mass, burn body fat. My wife says I got rid of her cellulite. And what that does, it gives you the ability to work out harder, maintain the lean muscle weight. Because remember, every pound of muscle that you have burns like 50 calories a day just to maintain its own basal metabolic rate. So if you go on a crazy diet and you lose 10 pounds of muscle, you're going to lower your own basal metabolic rate by 500 calories a day, which means now you got to eat 500 calories less just not to gain weight from where you need to be. So that's why it's so important when you're losing weight, you got to train real hard, take this HGH Stimulate, drink a lot of water, stay away from high glycemic carbohydrates like bread and pasta and rice and some of these other compounds that are so bad for you, and eat a good high protein veggie meal every time. I talked about this last time I was on with you guys. I try to eat a little bit of sauerkraut, you know, with every small meal that I have, because there's hardly any calories in sauerkraut. A big tablespoon's like 15 calories. And so if you eat a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 tablespoons of that, it really helps keep the bowels clean, and it really helps to keep the intestinal tract healthy. It really does. And you can do cooked cabbage the same way if you don't like sauerkraut. It works also very, very well. But if you do that every time you eat and just eat small meals, what ends up happening is it allows you at that point to use the calories to rebuild muscle tissue, to rebuild your glycogen stores, and it doesn't store them as fat. So 1 meal a day, 2 meals a day, Joe, it makes it really hard to lose weight on a regular basis. I mean, okay. It really, really does. And also excessive fasting will do the same thing. It'll lower your metabolic rate. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't fast, and if you're doing it for spiritual reasons, it's really good. And if you're doing it for health reasons, and you have a specific need or you have a special health problem that responds to fasting, you can do that. But fasting on an ongoing basis, on a regular basis, it's pretty hard on the system. It really ties it. It really bites down pretty hard on the reserve energy the body stores.
Okay, no, and that makes a lot of sense.
So smaller meals throughout the day as opposed to...
Yeah,
and that makes sense.
Yeah, and one other thing, too. You know, pharmaceuticals, the sorceries of Babylon. I mean, a lot of people take prescription drugs. Now, this past month when Renee had to go to the hospital, Doug, that was like a miracle itself that she got admitted. They opened her up. They took a small piece of her small intestine out. They put her back together again. She's doing great, taking her supplements. That's also another form of healing. I mean, I don't believe that medicine doesn't have its role. Of course, I believe that. But I believe that you have to be careful with medicine. You can't be over-medicating yourself, because there are a lot of chemicals and compounds that doctors give you, like statin drugs, which have no useful therapeutic purpose except to increase the risks of arterial calcification, causing hardening of the arteries, causing heart disease, causing brain fog, causing skeletal muscle necrosis, causing kidney failure, causing liver failure. I mean, they don't have the side effects of these drugs are so bad that you don't want to put them in your body. In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, it talks, and in the book of Revelation, it talks about sorcery and pharmakia go together, and it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, which means that the word's pharmakia, and then it goes on to list it, and it says that basically, if you do these things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It also says, the light of the lamp will not shine on you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard with you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of earth, because of all nations, ethnos were deceived by your pharmakia or sorcery. And it goes into detail on that in the New Testament. Because guys, there's a certain point when you're taking one drug to cover the cost of the effect of another drug, which covers the effect of another drug. It's called the law of diminishing returns. Now, the most I've seen when I was in my office and we had our clinic, I saw a guy come in one time with like a big brown paper bag, had 25 different prescription medications in it, Doug, and he was taking all of the drugs, and the vast majority of them, over 20 of them, were being used to cover the side effects of the other drugs. Remember, the drugs don't heal you. They simply don't do that. I mean, morphine doesn't heal the cut. ADD, when you have ADD or ADHD with a child, and you give that child an amphetamine salt like Ritalin or Adderall, it doesn't heal anything. It just doesn't. What it does, it masks the symptoms. And so what you have to understand is you need to give the body the nutrients that the body needs to recover. If you give the body the nutrients that it needs to recover, it will recover in most cases. But guys, it's so very important that we realize that, you know, we can't allow ourselves to be in a situation that, you know, all we're doing is going to the doctor every single week and buying more and more drugs. The other day I worked with a young fellow up in North Carolina, great kid. And he's doing some equipment work for me up there. And what was funny about this is he's in his 30s, got high blood pressure, you know, he's got high blood sugar, all of this stuff, taking all of these meds. And I told him, I said, well, work with your medical doctor and see if he'll allow you to start making some healthy dietary choices. And we did. And so we were able to get him down off his blood pressure medicine now. He has blood pressure perfect, blood sugar is perfect. But one of the things he had to do, he was using a lot of the smokeless tobacco. And guys, I know a lot of you kind of grimaced when I said that, because a lot of people use smokeless tobacco. And what happened is he had to cut back on that, because what you don't realize with smokeless tobacco is it increases blood sugar and it also increases blood pressure. People don't realize that's two of the side effects of that stuff, plus massively increases the risks of cancer, especially of the mouth, the larynx, the throat. So, and plus your liver is constantly having to process all of that swallowed tobacco juice, and it's really, really, really unhealthy. And so it's one of those things that there are things that you have to do as a Christian. If you're sick, and here's what my mom has a plaque, or she had a plaque. I have it now. May she rest in peace. She had a plaque that said, "Zwei Lebensstutzen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie." Now, all your German listeners tonight will like that, Doug, because what that means is there's two fundamental principles or pillars of life that you have to rely on all of your life, and they are prayer and work. And what I always tell folks like is this: pray like it's all up to God if you're sick and you don't feel good. Pray like it's all up to God, that God's going to give you that spontaneous remission, that spontaneous healing. And then work like it's all up to you as far as the dietary changes and the lifestyle changes. And I've seen tremendous, tremendous results with that. The young lady who had the breast cancer in Colorado, after she followed a healthy nutritional protocol, followed her lifestyle, it was prayed for on a regular basis, believed God for the healing, totally recovered from the breast cancer with no chemotherapy and no radiation. I have another friend of mine, same thing. He had a brain tumor, a glial tumor, matter of fact, of the brain, and completely recovered from that through prayer and through dietary change and lifestyle changes. So guys, don't just rely on one, which if you want to, you can, but let's go ahead and cover all of the bases. What do you guys think?
No, you're absolutely right. And, some great stuff, when you were talking about the different, results that happen and sometimes don't happen from prayer. Folks, if you joined us late in the segment, go back and listen to the beginning of the segment of what Ted was talking about with the different aspects of prayer, why it works sometimes and other times why it seems not to work. I thought that was really good. Folks, you're listening to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Dr. Ted Brewer is our guest of HealthMasters.com. His son Austin will be joining us, I believe, at 9 o'clock tonight also. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288